We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are back in the huddle. ESPN Upstate's Greg McKinney, Alonzo in studio this afternoon. Richmond's up in Charlotte. ACC Media Days for football wrapping up there. And we will, he's actually sent us in some comments from Cleland Farrell of Clemson. We'll get to later in the hour. Possibly get Richmond on one more time before we get out of here at 4 o'clock. 844-477-3776 is our number. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Please begin your message with ESPN. Twitter at ESPN Upstate here in the huddle. 3 o'clock and time for three questions. We have football and we have golf on three questions today, starting with the NFL. Alonzo, question number one, please.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons have told Julio Jones they will not extend his contract this season. Are they making the right move?
Yeah, I mean, look, he has 3 years left on the deal. 3 years and $34 million left on the contract because he signed a five-year deal. That's on him. Why would they want to redo his contract now? That would not be good business. They're focused more on Jake Matthews and Grady Jarrett and the free safety Ricardo Allen. They don't typically get into contract extensions until the final year rolls around. I'm sorry, Julio. Yeah, you're not making enough money based on your production. You made the deal. Is he going to hold out now? I hope not, but he might. And then he'll pay $40,000 a day. That's the fine. $40,000 a day if he doesn't show up next week for training camp. So you make the deal, talk to your agent about it. Why'd you make the deal? Why'd you go that long? You did it. Maybe you outperformed it, but it's not time yet. So I think the Falcons are making the right business move. What do you think?
You know, I also agree that the Falcons are making the right move, because if you bow to this, then you're going to have to bow to the next guy. And I just don't like the trend, and it is a trend of these guys seeing, well, that guy's getting paid more than me all of a sudden. I need to renegotiate my contract, even though you just signed a long-term one. You sign it, deal with it.
If he had underperformed the contract, would he want to renegotiate it? I'm going to say no.
I think he probably would try anyway, because he knows who he is and who he has been.
Well, that would be dumb. If he had, I mean, look.
Oh, I agree.
If he had underperformed it, but.
But I still think he would try.
Yeah. All right, so we agree. Now let's see. Will Julio Jones be an issue going into the season for the Atlanta Falcons? A distraction? Hopefully not, but wouldn't be surprised that he doesn't show up next week and tries to make some noise. But he doesn't really have any leverage, so I think he's going to have to show up. All right, question two.
Clemson is extending defensive coordinator Brent Venables for 5 years at a total of $11.6 million. On the same day, head basketball coach Brad Brownell is extended 6 years for $15 million. Any issue with those numbers? No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, as far as Venables goes, this is a smart move, because this guy is sought after every single offseason when there are openings, and there are always openings because what a great job he's done at Clemson. And I think obviously he doesn't want to go anywhere, and you give him more money, that's more incentive to stay there. So I don't have a problem with that. And as far as him, I think you said he's going to be the highest paid assistant coach in football.
Yep.
Hey, again, if they'll pay you, take it. Good for you. And he deserves it. It's not like he doesn't deserve it. I mean, he is one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in college football. As far as Brownell, he should be happy because
he was about to be fired.
Yes. Yeah. a year ago, this would not have seemed like a possibility. But after last year, good for you. Get your money now. Because if you have a bad year, even after signing this,
Yeah. You know, what would it have been? I mean, and the interesting thing about this is they're pretty close per year numbers. They're both making over $2 million a year, especially with bonuses. Venables can get up in that range. of $2.5 million, and that's where Brownell is at 6 years, $15 million. So should an assistant football coach make as much as a head basketball coach? Well, sure. You know, it's all what the market bears. And Clemson, guess what, is a football school. So that's fine. But what would have happened if Clemson had not had a good basketball season last year, and then Brad Brownell would have been out and they would have brought somebody new in? And the number, depending on who it was, might very well have been lower than this. And then there would have been, you know, more talk about how much they're playing an assistant football coach compared to a head basketball coach. So, you know, Brownell jumped up the ante for basketball. And otherwise, you know, it would have been a complete football story. But I'm fine with it. I think the numbers make sense. They're smart to lock down Venables. Maybe this will stop the annual discussion about whether he's leaving to be a head coach somewhere. He doesn't seem to want to do it. He's getting paid well enough that he doesn't have to do it. So good for him. All right, final question.
All right, before I get to that, will it ever happen in the entirety of the world that this would happen in Duke or North Carolina?
A football coach make more than assistant football coach?
Yes.
No, that'd be a no. Or Kentucky. No.
Things would really, really have to change. All right, question number three. Are we wrong if we want to call the golf tournament going on right now, as we speak, the British Open?
Yeah, it's actually the Open, and they make a big deal out of it. And I understand, you know, that NBC, it's on the Golf Channel today and tomorrow. It's on NBC on the weekend. You're not going to hear those guys say the British Open, but I'm going to say it. Why does one get to be the Open? Just because they were here first. I mean, under that logic, the Rose Bowl should be called the Bowl because they're the granddaddy. So let's just call it the Bowl, and everybody else can be the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the whatever bowl, except for the Rose Bowl. It could be the Bowl. It's presumptuous, it's elitist, and it's irritating. And I'm going to call it the British Open because I can, and they can't stop us. You know, the U.S. Open is a pretty big golf tournament. What if they want to be the Open, too? Can they do that? Why does one get to be the Open?
Well, I got to tell you, if I hear the Open here, I automatically think the U.S. Open. I don't think the British. I think it's fine to call it that on your own soil, but you shouldn't expect everybody else to do the same. And I agree with you. It is arrogant and presumptuous and all the kind of things that you expect from the English, the British golfers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see enough of that when we go at them, when we're playing head-to-head against each other. So I don't get it. What happens if we call it the British Open? What if one of the announcers call it that? Will they be reprimanded?
Yes. They're making a huge deal
out
of that.
Will they pay a fine?
They'll probably not be on the broadcast next year.
Will they get yanked?
Yeah. I think they probably would. I think they would probably pull them for calling it the British Open on NBC. And they're not going to do that. They're very careful about that. Look, the U.S. Open is the biggest of the two. I mean, the Masters is bigger than both of them. Right?
So if someone has a slip, like I've had this slip on the air several times, I keep calling the Chargers San Diego, even though they're not in San Diego anymore. Yeah, so if someone slips and calls it the British Open because have they always had an attitude about it like this?
No, it's developed over the years.
So at some point we called it the British Open.
Yeah. They don't want us to do that now.
Who are they to dictate what we do?
Well, the people who run the tournament, they can name it what they want, I guess.
I suppose.
And they can enforce that with the people that make money off of it, but they can't enforce that with us. I mean, look, among European golfers, the British Open is probably a bigger deal. Among American golfers, the U.S. Open is probably a bigger deal. You know, I like the British Open just fine. But I also like the U.S. Open, and like I said, the Masters is a bigger deal than both of them. It's just irritating. We're calling it the British Open. Let's check the leaderboard at the British Open in Carnoustie, Scotland, right now. Kevin Kisner is the leader at 66 today, went in at 5 under par. And that lead has held up. He posted that a long time ago, and it's held all day long. Nobody Nobody out on the course right now is going to threaten it, I don't think, because the closest with a guy still out there on the course is Abraham Answer, who is at minus one, headed to 17. So he's not going to be at minus five when he finishes up. There's just a handful of golfers still out on the course. Tiger's on 18 now, and he is still at even par. So Tiger's had a decent round today, but he started off better. On the front nine, he was a minus two, so he's lost a couple shots on the back nine. And Brett Rumford is on 15 at even par. So none of those guys are going to approach Kevin Kisner's minus five. So it looks like Kevin Kisner is going to be the leader after round one of the British Open. Erik van Rooyen, Tony Finau, and Xander Lombard at four under. They're one shot back. They had 67s today. Brandon Stone, Ryan Moore, and Brendan Steele at three under, two shots back. And then a big group of golfers at minus two, which includes Rory McIlroy with a 69 today. So that's a good start for Rory. It's nice to see that. See if he can hang on through the weekend and be a factor come Sunday. Other scores today, Matt Kuchar minus one. Ricky Fowler had a minus one today. They're both finished up. Martin Keimer, even par today. Mentioned that Tiger Woods is at even, but he has another hole to play. Jason Day had a 71. He finished for the day at even par. Also today, Justin Rose at a plus 172. Jordan Spieth had a plus 172 today. Let me get that story on Jordan Spieth today. He was not happy with his round unraveling today. He put his nightmare first-round finish at the Open down to a combination of falling back to the type of golf he's trying to steer himself away from and a brain thing. I'm not going to say it. But anyway, he had a 72 over six shots, minus one over six shots off current leader Kevin Kisner. It looked like a really good round for Spieth. He was three under par as he teed off on the 15th, hit his shot, his drive into the fescue, and then plugged his next shot into the pot bunker on the hole, went on to a double bogey on 15, and then he bogeyed two of the final three holes. Talking about his aberration on the 15, he said his second shot was a poor decision, and he said it was a missed opportunity. Brought an end to his five straight rounds in the 60s at the Open. It's his first over par first round at this competition. Said he had a nice par save after driving it in the bunker on six. Was pretty stress-free till he got to those final four holes or so. Said his swing didn't hold up at the end of this round, and the long irons hurt him today. So promising start does not pan out for Jordan Spieth, the defending champion at the Open today, as he falls back a little bit. Again, Tiger Woods going to 18 at even par. Phil Mickelson had a plus 273 today, as did Ernie Els and Bernhard Langer. Couple of other scores of note today. Jason Duffner still on the course at plus two, headed to 17. Retief Goosen plus 374. He's finished for the day. Not very good scores for some other guys of note, like Bubba Watson with a 75, four over par. Sergio Garcia, same thing, 75 at four over par today. Plus five for Brant Snedeker today. And Dustin Johnson, plus 576 today. So not the kind of round he was looking for to start the Open play today. But anyway, it is a lead for Kevin Kisner by one stroke today with his minus five as he posted that 66 today. First round about to come to an end at Carnoustie, Scotland. 844-477-3776. Got some comments from Cleland Farrell of the Clemson Tigers coming up as we continue the huddle here in the third and final hour on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Some Major League Baseball is back after the All-Star break. And we'll have the Cardinals and the Cubs, a great rivalry. 7 o'clock tonight, right here on ESPN Upstate. So you can join us for that. 844-477-3776. The text line, Health Dare text line, 71307. Start your text with ESPN, and we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Going on in Charlotte, wrapping up in Charlotte, the ACC Media Days, and had some of the Clemson players on the podium today. And one of those was Cleveland Farrell talking about that defensive line. There's a whole lot of hype about the Clemson defensive line coming into 2018 with all the guys coming back and joining with Dexter Lawrence, who, you know, we found out this week a little more about Dexter Lawrence playing hurt. And he's been still banged up this spring. So his health might be a little bit of a question coming in, getting him back to 100%. But Cleveland Farrell today in Charlotte said he was tired of all the noise about the Clemson defense.
You hit it right on the head. When I came in, Coach Hoppe, my old defensive line coach, and Coach Bates, too, they always talked to us about not taking the cheese. Yesterday in the team meeting, Coach Sweeney gave numbers. Man, I hate seeing them on magazines. I hate that. It's all on paper. Like, but they right, though. You know what I mean? I'm tired of seeing it, too. We're ready to just go out there and just play and perform because that's what it's all about. I mean, people keep asking us how good can we really be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're very talented, but, you know, I hope I get asked this question at the end of the season. That'll be a better time to answer it. But, yeah, that's basically it. Not trying to listen to the outside noises because obviously I know that we're a talented group, but we're more so about the action. We want to walk the walk rather than just talk. You know what I mean?
Don't take the cheese. Going to walk the walk. Cleveland Farrell.
What if you like cheese?
Then you can take the cheese, I guess.
Okay.
You know, they even mentioned Clemson's defense at SEC Media Days today when Auburn was up there. Jared Stidham, the quarterback for Auburn. Last year, when Clemson beat Auburn 14-6 in Death Valley, Jared Stidham was sacked 11 times. 11 sacks. It was close to a record, one short of the school record. Most sacks by Clemson defense since 2004. Today at SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Jared Stidham said, "I'm glad Clemson happened. I'm glad I got sacked 11 times because that's never going to happen to me again. I promise you that." Well, they're not scheduled to play Auburn unless it happens in the college football playoff. But or, you know, I guess ostensibly it could happen in some other bowl game. I don't know if I'd be calling out the Clemson defense. Auburn did need a little work on the offensive line. They expect to be better there this year. 11 sacks, that's incredible, isn't it?
Not if you're the guy getting sacked, no.
He's glad it happened. Do you buy that?
No.
I'm going to go with no on that. I'm probably not glad it happened. Because, you know, Auburn defense did a good job against Clemson last year. But their offense could not get it going at all. At all against Clemson last year. On the Larry Fedora controversy, the comments that Fedora, the North Carolina coach, made yesterday that football's under attack and that he questions the connection between football and CTE and brain injuries and so forth. Lane Kiffin's talking about that now. Lane Kiffin, of course, the Florida Atlantic coach, and he disputes the notion expressed by Larry Fedora that football's under attack. And he said he's supportive of the changes being made to the game to make it safer. I mean, I think Fedora supports those changes as well. Pretty much said that football is safer than it's been. Kiffin today at Conference USA Media Days said you do see long-term issues with older NFL players. He said, what's the most important thing, long-term health or how the game looks? You know, Fedora said yesterday, I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes CTE. He said, my understanding is that repeated blows to the head cause it, so I'm assuming every sport we have, football included, could be a problem as long as you've got any kind of contact. And then Fedora added that football was under attack to the point that the game will be pushed so far from what we know that we won't recognize it in 10 years. Kiffin called it accurate that the game is changing, but with a son starting tackle football next month, Lane Kiffin said he hopes the evolution of football will help counter the problems with CTE. He said, I think the changes in the game will continue to come, and they're going to help people's concerns. With concussions plaguing football, Kiffin said he was surprised when Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray elected to play football for the Sooners this season, even though he was selected 9th overall by the Oakland Athletics in the Major League Baseball draft. A Florida Atlantic plays Oklahoma, by the way, in Game 1 this year. They open the season at Oklahoma September 1st. Kyler Murray is expected to start for the Sooners this year before he moves on with the A's and his baseball career. Kiffin said he should change his mind and go to baseball. He's kind of joking because he doesn't want to face him. But he said, more seriously, I didn't realize he would go that high in the baseball draft, but it's kind of crazy that he doesn't go play baseball this year. Think of all the concussion issues that are out there with football and the NFL. Then he was saying, apparently seriously, that Kyler Murray should go ahead and go play baseball. Will Muschamp commented, too. We heard that at the beginning of our show today at SEC Media Days. He says, I don't think our game is under attack. Said, I don't know a lot about Larry's comments, but as far as CTE, he feels comfortable with the policies and procedures that they have at South Carolina. And Muschamp said the number one point of all this is the health of student athletes. John Swofford, the ACC commissioner chiming in on this, said we have to respect the science when it comes to the connection between football and CTE. In an interview with the Associated Press, John Swofford said football is not alone in concerns over concussions in sports, but he said football by its very nature is going to be looked at first. Swofford said it's important to be willing to consider adjustments to improve player safety, whether it deals with rules, practice, or equipment. He said, if we're not looking at it that way, I think we've got our head in the sand. So that kind of sets up Larry Fedora counter to the commissioner of his league, which is probably not the best thing for him. But I haven't heard anything from any official North Carolina folks about being concerned about Fedora's comments. We told you Dan Wolken of USA Today said basically he should be fired if he wants to deny the connection, but nothing out of North Carolina at this point, and we'll see if that's going to be the case going down the road. One more football note here before the break. Out of the NFL, Danny Amendola now with the Miami Dolphins, former Patriots receiver. He has offered up a comparison between Adam Gase, the third-year Miami coach, and Bill Belichick. Amendola says, Coach Gase is one of the guys, our leader, our head coach, but also our boy. Nobody ever said about Bill Belichick, he's our boy, right?
Not that I recall.
He said, it's kind of refreshing to have that kind of relationship with a coach, something I haven't had in a long time. He said, back in New England, it's almost like you had a principal and a principal's office and blank like that. In a good way and a bad way, he said. In noting the comparison between Gase and Belichick, Amendola said he has respect for all of his prior coaches. He called Belichick one of the best of all time. While expressing excitement with his present situation, Danny Amendola signed a 2-year, $12 million contract with the Dolphins in March. The interview touched on how Amendola has developed a quick rapport with Gase. Also talked about his top memories in New England and how he didn't sense outside the norm friction within the Patriots last season. And he also commented on the benching of quarterback Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, among other topics. He had also talked about Butler's benching with ESPN. And on the podcast, he said, I don't know the answer to that to this date, why Butler was benched. He said, I know we have 40-some-odd guys dressed for the game. All of them didn't play for whatever reason. Coach Belichick made the decision. In hindsight, it's like, what agenda are we on? He said, that's probably something I'll never understand. Malcolm Butler being benched in that Super Bowl. Still not clear to Danny Amendola how that could have happened. Not clear to a lot of other people, too, I think. 844-GSP-ESPN, text line 71307. We'll be right back here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Expectations running kind of high for Wake Forest in the ACC, coming off an 8-5 season last year. They were 4-4 in the conference, and they won their bowl game. They beat Texas A&M. No defense played in that Belk Bowl. 55-52 final score in the Belk Bowl. So if you like offense, you should have been in Charlotte for that one. But Wake has 8 offensive starters coming back and 6 defensive starters returning. So Dave Clawson, coach of the Demon Deacons, expecting another good year is some of what he had to say previewing this upcoming season for Wake Forest.
The thing that I'm most excited about is I really believe that we've built a foundation that we can sustain success. I think if you look at the history of Wake Forest football, there's been flashes of success. But I think that we've built something that we can sustain and, create a regional and a national narrative that Wake Forest is a place that people aren't surprised when we go to bowl games. I think right now, internally, the expectation is we want to be a perennial bowl team. We want to compete for championships. And we want the regional and the national media to view our program that way. And having said that, progress in this league is not easy. I mean, this division and this conference is really good football. And I think the big thing last year, not only, did we get back to a bowl and win 8 games, but we beat some really good football teams. I don't feel like our season in any way was a fluke. We had one of the most difficult schedules in the country last year. And we want to build off it, though. I don't think anybody on our staff, in our locker room, is satisfied with what we did. And we think there's a greater ceiling to what we can accomplish, and we're excited to prove that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. They win 8 games again this year. Might be a little excitement building for Wake Forest. Dave Clawson's done a nice job. You win 8 games at Wake Forest, you're doing pretty good. So congratulations to him on that.
Is that as far as you can expect to go, though?
I don't see them competing for the top of the heap in the ACC. I don't think anybody else will either. But will they take a step back? I don't know. You got to like what he's done up there. They got Matt Colburn, that running back out of Dutch Fork, who Bobby Petrino turned his back on. He's done a nice job for him. So I think Wake will probably be competitive again this year. But not that competitive, so that we'll be talking about them for the top of the ACC. But still, hats off to Dave Clawson for a nice job. Did you know the official Twitter account of Alabama football has been suspended?
Really?
Yeah. It's not the first time. It happened like 4 months ago. It's a copyright thing. They are not real good at following copyright laws on Alabama football Twitter. They used a remixed song in a video that they posted. And so now if you go to, what's the account? @AlabamaFTBL, for @AlabamaFootball, you get an account suspended message. Actually, it's back up and running now this afternoon, according to this latest. It just came back up. The 4th copyright strike against @AlabamaFootball. They got 2 last year, according to a database that tracks all this stuff. The one filed today did not list the copyright holder. The one allegedly offending Alabama football tweet was among 293 included in a complaint to Twitter that resulted in the suspension. So now the deleted tweet in question was posted June 27th, video of the players working out, but the song, whatever it was not licensed for them to use. It's become kind of common for branded accounts of all kinds. Several official college football accounts were suspended back on National Signing Day in February for copyright violations. Alabama's went down April 10th for a similar issue. There were 96 other tweets besides Alabama's, including in that complaint. And the way they catch all this is they use bots. Copyright holders use bots to scour the internet for music that matches the original song.
See, it's very difficult because we've had to go through training and probably will continue to have to go through training with all the copyright laws. And as social media expands and the crackdowns and stuff, I know you say they're using bots, but it seems like that they're going after big accounts like this to make a point.
Yeah, they won't do that to you and me, but they'll do it to Alabama and they probably do it to us as a radio station. That's why we're careful about it. Yep, it's just one of the new realities of social media that you can't just post anything. It's got some music in there. There's a chance there's going to be a copyright infringement.
See, there's one way around it. They just need to get the band that originally did it, just have them there on signing day.
All right, that works.
That takes care of it.
Yeah. On signing day, the problem is all these athletes do their own videos and they post them and there's music tied to it. So anyway, that's the deal for Alabama to apparently back up now after a little timeout for Alabama football's Twitter account. All right, we're going to come back and wrap it up, and I think we're going to be able to check in with Richmond on his way back from ACC Media Days in our final segment. So stay with us here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Thursday huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo in studio, and Richmond Weaver is headed back from Charlotte ACC Media Days. The Tigers were on the podium earlier this afternoon, and we heard a little bit from Cleland Farrell earlier. Richmond's on the line with us now. Rich, Dabo Swinney, make any news this afternoon? What were the highlights in your mind of what he had to say?
Yeah, the big highlight of the day there at the press conference was that he never once got asked about his quarterback.
Wow.
So he couldn't make any headlines. I think the media has finally figured out that you ask the same question over and over again, you're going to get the same answer from Dabo Swinney and the Clemson coaching staff right now, because not one person asked about the quarterback position.
Wow. That's kind of surprising. So what did he talk about in his time on the podium?
Well, it was more about the expectations heading into this season based on how the season finished up and what the ACC looks like, how they are a much more competitive conference now from a top to bottom, at least in the Atlantic, when you look at a situation where Boston College is going to be a much improved type of team. And it was interesting as he's going through the list of teams that he's talking about, and we talked about it earlier when I called in, that Louisville seems to be flying under the radar. He mentioned just about every team in the Atlantic, that the top teams that you would think, the NC State, the Florida State, the Boston College, you know, on a rise. And he failed to mention Louisville, and a reporter did talk about it, that, hey, you did forget Louisville. And he said, oh, yeah, that's right. I did forget Louisville. We cannot forget Louisville because we have narrowly escaped three out of the four past games with them. It was just last year was the one where we seemed to have all things clicking against Louisville.
Yeah. Some of that audio you sent us from Cleland Farrell where he said he was tired of the hype about the defensive line. Did Dabo say he was tired of the hype? I'm guessing not.
Well, he's not tired of the hype. Yes, he loves the hype because he enjoys that situation of almost the security blanket that he has the talented defensive line front like he has to, you know, help the secondary. Because he knows that the depth might not be there necessarily on the secondary, but the secondary's best friend is a great defensive line. And that's one of the things that he did talk about, that is that it's not so much the hype, and even Cleland Farrell goes on to talk even more about it's all about let's get out on the field and produce. It's all talk right now. Yes, everybody can talk about how talented they are and the projections where they might go in the NFL draft and what this defensive unit can look like, at least on the front four in terms of a shutdown defense. But at the end of the day, it's still all talk, and they've got to go out there and perform. And that's why Cleveland Farrell, he's a jokester. I would have to say that he was up on the stage and he was very jovial and joking around. But when it came to that talk track, it was like, all right, now this is serious business. We're tired of seeing names on the magazine, seeing names in print. We just need to get out there and let's actually execute on the field.
Yeah, Richmond, we heard a little bit this week about how Dexter Lawrence was playing hurt for much of last year, and they've been careful with him this spring. Anything from Dabo on the health of Dexter Lawrence today?
No, there was nothing specific, at least during the sessions that I was in. Now, he could have talked specifically somewhere else during the course of the day, but nothing that I heard to talk about the specifics. And I would have to say, for the most part, a lot of it was just more generalities. There wasn't a whole lot of in-depth discussions going into specific players, other than the fact that there was also talk about, even on the defensive side, that you're looking at a talented defense, not just with those four that we know, but it's also the depth of that defensive line with these young guys coming in, and there's a lot of talent that's even behind these guys. So it seems to be that the cupboard is, even next year, it doesn't seem to be that it's going to be bare.
Yeah, speaking of the defense, extension for Brent Venables today, 5 years, $11.6 million. Dabo, I don't guess they really made that official yet, so did Dabo say anything about it?
No, they did talk about it, yes. So apparently, I guess the Board of Trustees has approved it, and apparently this has been in the work because Dabo did mention that from his perspective, this was settled months ago. Mm-hmm. It's just now having to go through the proper channels and the process to make it a done deal. But he feels that, you know, this is a situation where now Venables can, you know, be at, I shouldn't say at rest, but he can be in a position where he knows that things are set from a financial standpoint. And maybe it wasn't a big deal in terms of a huge increase in finance, even though he's now going to be the top paid assistant in college football. And I guess there's more specifics on the back end of the deal that just adds some security for Brent Venables, which, again, for me, it just showcases that doesn't look like Brent Venables is going to go anywhere. He's very secure in being defensive coordinator at Clemson and doesn't have to go search for a different opportunity, search for a head coaching job. And I think it helps from a recruiting standpoint because now you don't have to worry about the talk track. Oh, how long is Brent Venables going to be there? He's going to leave because we know typically offensive and defensive coordinators, they eventually leave for another opportunity or a head coaching opportunity.
Richmond Weaver headed back from Charlotte. Richmond, we appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.